Well, it's great to see everybody. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And we're going to continue on with our lesson on God. What does he give us to remember by? So turn over to 2 Peter. That's where we will be. From last week, from 1 John, he says, John says, I'm not telling you these things because you do not know the truth, but because you do know the truth, because you have the anointing, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. The Holy Spirit can only guide you into all truth. So John is recognizing that we have the power of the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth, who is God in us, who is God in us. And so what better being to lean on to help us to remember the truth of God? He who dwells in us. And so he tells us, well, you really don't need anyone to teach you these things because you have all-knowing God living in you. How, you know, what more do we need? And that is, we just need to understand that we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, his directions, his leading. We need to stay in God's word, and we need to concentrate on these things, remember all these things that he has taught us. Then Paul, several times, he continues to tell people, whatever you've learned, put into practice. Jesus talks about, he who hears my word and puts them into practice. So again, this hearing, not just listening, but hearing and doing something with it. Hearing with intelligence, hearing with the intent of applying it, doing something with that. Paul talks about these teachings that you've learned, whatever you've learned, put into practice. He tells Timothy, continue in what you've learned. Again and again, remember the things that you know. Remember the things that you have been taught. And then 2 Peter, let's just go back through 2 Peter 1, 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, his own glory and goodness, he has given us his very great and precious promises. So we have great and precious promises through his glory and his goodness. What do we do with those great and precious promises? So that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Again, if we don't have Jesus' great and great precious promises, can we escape the corruption of the world? Can we live in the divine nature? And it is impossible to do that. Because we cannot participate in the divine nature unless we have the Holy Spirit of God. We can't have the Holy Spirit of God unless we believe in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. It's impossible. So through his great and precious promises, we have the ability to participate in God's nature, in the divine nature. And through that is the only way that we escape the corruption of the world. For this very reason then, so since you have that capability, with the Holy Spirit living in you. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. So make every effort to continue to add to your faith these things, which is an almost identical description of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul gives us in Galatians. Peter is saying, here's the things that you add to your faith. Why are you adding to your faith the fruit of the Spirit? Because he lives in you. If I'm a growing Christian, shouldn't I look more and more like the Holy Spirit who dwells in me over time? So these things should be growing in us, that we should look like this. And so he's saying, so just add to these things as you're growing, because he says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, so that says I'm growing, it's a dynamic faith, I'm beginning to listen to the Holy Spirit, I'm letting him mold me into the image of Jesus Christ. So yes, if I'm a growing Christian, I should look more like this. I should possess these qualities in increasing measure. And if I do, if I possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I will be effective and I will be productive if I possess these qualities in increasing measure. If I don't, then I'm not going to be effective in my faith. and I'm not going to be productive in learning about Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. But if I don't have these qualities increasing measures, here's what I'm going to look like. If anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. I'm going to be living in guilt because I'm going to forget that Jesus cleansed me of my sins. I'm going to forget that Jesus died for all my sins, past, present, and future, because he's already seen them. And Jesus chose to die for all sin, for all men, for all time. So if I'm not growing in the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, I'm going to forget that. And I'm going to think, yeah, but some of the sins that I've done, probably he didn't die for that one, did he? And so that just points back to, if I don't have these qualities in increasing measure, I'm going to forget. I'm not going to remember what Jesus has done on the cross for me. I'm not going to remember. So therefore, he says, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if I'm not growing, if I'm forgetting that I'm cleansed of sin, then I'm not going to be making my calling and election sure. And as we said last week, we're not making it sure to God. God is already known. He's already seen. God does not go back on his covenants. So we're not proving it to God. We're showing it ourselves. We're building our confidence, making our calling and election sure, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As I grow in the knowledge of what he did on the cross for me, I understand more and more that my sins are forgiven. I've been cleansed from my sins. And that makes my calling and election sure. It brings certainty to my knowledge of him. But without those things, I'm always going to be wondering, am I really saved or not? I don't feel saved today. I did something that I shouldn't have this week, and so I'm probably not saved this week. No, you have to understand your position in Jesus Christ, making your calling and election sure. So then he leads into this, and he's talking about these things. Remember these things. Remember these things. And so Peter says, so I will always remind you of these things. I want to cause you to remember the foundations of your faith. I'm going to continue to remind you of these basic knowledgeable truths in Jesus Christ. I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So you know them. You know this stuff. You're established in it, but I'm going to continue to remind you of it. Which just points back to me that we tend to forget pretty easily. And some of us, as we grow older, we tend to forget more things sometimes, sadly. But anyway, it is an amazing thing to think about. You know, we know these things. Or at least, if I've been a Christian more than just a few years, I should know this stuff. For those of us that have been Christians for 30, 40, 50 years, this should be so ingrained in us that it's just a part of our every single day decision-making process, a part of our life. This should be us. But we tend to forget. We still tend to forget. And does that make my calling and election sure? No, I continue to wonder if Jesus really finished everything on the cross. And that's just not true. So if I'm not growing in these qualities, if I'm not reminded of these things, then I'm always going to doubt that Christ really cleansed me of all my sin. I will always be nearsighted and blind about my faith. Then I will always be ineffective and unproductive in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. I will not possess these qualities and I will not be growing in them. So of course, I'm not going to be sure of my calling and my election. You just have to understand that this is what he's pointing at to make sure that we continually grow in the confidence and the certainty of what Jesus has done for us. and that we live in our position in Him and not our everyday condition. Our everyday condition is up and down, the emotional part of it, the doubt creeps in, but we always have to go back to our position that's in Jesus Christ because we believe in Him and our eternity is assured, and that makes our calling and election sure. So, we are I like this because out of the hymn, because we are prone to wander. That's us. We are prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God I love. So please, please, Lord, take my heart and take it and seal it with Thy Spirit from above. So like He says, the Holy Spirit is a seal, a deposit, a guarantee for our future. Take that and seal my heart, seal my life so that doubt doesn't creep in. Seal my knowledge of Jesus Christ so I'm not wandering and forgetting who I love, who's my first love. But this is us. This is us. We're prone to wander. And so whenever we forget these truths, we cry out, "Oh Lord, take my heart and seal it with Your Spirit, the Spirit that leads me into all truth, the same Spirit who Jesus says will teach me all things, the same Spirit that says that the Spirit will remind me of everything that Jesus has said, causing me to remember everything in Jesus' words. That's who I want living in me." And God says, "And that's who I have living in you." So what's interesting is Peter knew the frailty of us. He knew that we were prone to wander. Peter, better than anybody else, we did a lesson on this, and you compare Peter from the Gospels to the Peter of these two epistles. And he's a changed man. Because Peter of the apostles is bold, arrogant, and brash. How many times did he tell Jesus, "Well, I'll never do that. All the others may fall away, but I'll never fall away." Or Jesus says, "I'm going to be crucified." "No, that will never happen, Lord. No, not you. That'll never happen." That's Peter of the Gospels. And then it happened to Peter. Peter denied Christ. He forgot. He was prone to wander. He was prone to leave the God he loved. And now he's writing these letters saying, "Be careful. It can happen to you." Because we are prone to wander and prone to forget. That's why I want to keep reminding you of these things, these foundational things, so you won't wander. Because I did, Peter says. I denied Christ. And these letters are just so beautiful because he's a broken man realizing the frailty of his faith. So he wants to be sure that people's calling and election are sure. "I will always remind you of these things." And he says, "Even though you know them and you are firmly established in them," he says, "I'm going to keep reminding you over and over." We need the repetition. We need to relearn. We need to be reminded constantly so we continue to grow in our knowledge. In fact, he says in verse 13, he says, "I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." As long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep coming back and refreshing your memory on these foundational truths. I'm going to continue this. "Because I know that I will soon put it aside as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." Even after I'm gone, I want you to remember these foundational truths. And what a great vision motto for a teacher to say, even after I'm gone, I want you to remember these foundational truths. So I'm going to do everything I can to refresh your memory, keep it alive, keep it at the forefront of your thinking. Just like God was telling the Jews. If you're walking, if you're sitting down, if you're lying down, if you're getting up, if you're talking to your children, you talk about my word. You talk about my commands. You keep them at the forefront of your life and at the forefront of your thinking. Keep them always there. Keep them written on your heart. Put them at the forefront of everything that you do. And Peter's saying, "I want to refresh your memory. I want to refresh you. I'll continue to remind you because I'm not going to be here all the time, and I want you to be sure you know these things whenever I depart." That just is a beautiful heart that Peter has there. So it makes you wonder, you see what is going on, you know, overall in the Christian body today. And it is, it's like we're prone to wander. We're prone to forget the scriptural truth that we have right in front of us and try to make other decisions based on emotions, based on, you know, whatever else, rather than scriptural truth. So why do we see so many churches falling apart? Because we're prone to wander. We've forgotten the basics. We're not growing in these things anymore, it seems like. So when we do that, we're short-sighted, we're blind, and we forget that we've been cleansed of our sins, and we forget that we have the truth living in us. That seems like to be the problem. And so Peter continues to say, you know, what we want to continue to cause you to remember. And he says, and what you need to remember was not some cleverly invented story. We didn't make this stuff up. So he continues on here. He said, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these things I want you to remember, all these things I'm going to continue to remind you of, the things that you're growing in, we didn't make this stuff up. It's not some little story that we just invented. In fact, we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, this is My Son, whom I love, with Him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on the sacred mountain. Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. He said, we were there. We saw it. We heard God's voice. There was more than one of us, and we all saw and heard the same thing. We didn't make this stuff up. He said, so all of this is based on eyewitness testimony. We were present when all of this happened. And he said, and also, besides that, remember, you have the word of the prophets made more certain. How did that come about? Well, the Jews knew the prophecies. The Jews knew the Old Testament. They knew all the prophecies. Now then, with the fulfillment of Jesus Christ, he says, we have the word made more certain. We've seen it happen. We've seen all these prophecies fulfilled. So we know everything in the Hebrew Scripture is true. We know it for certain because we have seen it fulfilled in our lifetimes. And we get to see things fulfilled in our lifetimes also. We see this incredible thing with the existence of Israel as a nation again. We see the return of the Jews to Israel. We see things happening that haven't happened for 2,000 years. That tells me we have the word made more certain. God hadn't forgotten His promise. We have the word made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it. So, cause you to remember, pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that guides us into all truth, that same Spirit that brings to remembrance everything that Jesus told us, the same Spirit. The same Spirit that inspired God's Word. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, that's the Spirit. And we have to remember, we have that Spirit living in us. The eternal, all-knowing Spirit of God living in us. And so we have the Word made more certain. So pay attention to it. The Word that came from God to man as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit can lead us only into all truth. We have Him dwelling in us. So remember these things, pay attention to the Word of God, and the danger is, if you don't keep remembering these things, he continues in the second chapter, 2 Peter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people. So he's just finished saying, here's how you can be more certain. Here's how you make your calling election sure. We were eyewitnesses. We heard the voice. The Word of God is made more certain. We have the Holy Spirit. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow the shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Are we seeing the way of truth being brought into disrepute? What was true just a decade ago is just totally upside down now. Everything is turned upside down. People who called evil good and now as good as evil and back and forth. The way of truth has fallen into disrepute. In fact, if you try to speak the truth, people ridicule you. Who are you to think you know the truth? The way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up, as opposed to, we didn't make this up. We saw it. We witnessed it. Now then, the false teachers are going to make up stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. If you don't remember these things, if I don't constantly remind you of these things, you're going to be swayed by false teachers and be led astray. You're going to follow their shameful ways. The way of truth is going to fall into disrepute, and you're going to follow these shameful ways, and you're going to wander off course. And again, you just think, wow, what are we seeing in so many Christian churches today? That's kind of what's happening. The false teachers are among us, and they're going to try to sway people and lead them astray. And it's all because we don't remember the foundational truths that we've been given. So I want to finish up just with a couple more verses from Paul talking to Timothy and what James says also. Talking about leaning on what you've learned. So Paul, several times in his writing, says, from what I received, I have passed on to you. We have been given, and we have all the evidence, not only for the validity of Scripture. We have evidence in abundance, far more evidence than any other book in history, that what we have in Scripture right here in front of us is exactly what was written down and passed along since 1500 BC. So we have the Hebrew text beginning with Moses, and we have the New Testament written by all of the apostles and all of the people who put down the words of the New Testament. We have the evidence that goes back, the manuscript evidence that goes back to the 2nd century AD. So just in a short time between the actual events of the Gospels, we have the evidence that shows that we have all of these things. We can rest assured, and we have learned these things, and it has been passed on to us faithfully, and we believe it has been under the control of the Holy Spirit by His inspiration, passing it along and guiding everyone into all truth. And so what we have is exactly what was spoken by God, by Jesus, and given by the Holy Spirit throughout the centuries. We have more responsibility than anybody else in history, because we have Bibles galore in every single home. We are literate people, and we have this incredible responsibility that we should know this stuff. We of all people should be so well grounded in our knowledge of salvation and of Jesus Christ. We don't have much excuse at all. And so from what we have learned, we should be well grounded, and we should, as Jesus said, whoever hears the words of mine, put them into practice. But what it points back to is we are so prone to wander, we are so prone to forget, that those things that we know to be true, we push aside for some new fad, and that's where the danger comes in. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy, so just a few little ways backwards. 2 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 2:7. He tells Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying. So right off the bat, remember what I'm saying, reflect on it, think about it, meditate on it, because I've given you all these truths, So I want you to remember. So reflect on what I'm saying. For the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Just like we've been saying that. The Holy Spirit, that's one of His purposes. It's to bring to remembrance everything that Jesus has said and teach us into all things and guide us into the truth of God. So the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ. Remember. There it is again. Here's what I want you to remember. Number one, He's raised from the dead. Without the resurrection, we have nothing. Our faith is worthless. We're still in our sins. All bets are off. Christianity is a lie. If the resurrection didn't happen, we don't need to be here. Everything falls apart right there. So Jesus is raised from the dead. Remember that, Timothy. He is descended from David. Why would he throw that in? Why would he? What's the bother? Do what? Help him remember. But what's so important about that? Just yes. So the everlasting promise of God that David will never cease to have a man on the throne, given 1,000 years before Christ. So what he's saying is, remember, you know, God makes a promise and he keeps it. Jesus was descended from David and he's on the throne in heaven, just like God promised. So he is raised from the dead. He is descended from David because that's an everlasting promise. And if he keeps his promises that long, he's going to continue. He's descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. Paul says, I'm chained like a criminal, but I'm preaching this gospel. But God's word is not chained. God's word is never chained. Like he says in Isaiah, my word will not return to me void. It will always accomplish what I please. No matter what, God's word is going to be more powerful than anything on earth or in heaven that could hold it back. God's word is going to do things that God pleases. It's never going to be chained. It's never going to be held back. It will never come back void. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Well, here's a trustworthy saying, Timothy. If we died with him, we will also live with him. You can count on it. You can bet your eternity on it. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. Just like Jesus says, he who confesses me before the Father, confesses me before man, I will confess before the Father. Who disowns me before man, like he says, Jesus will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. So here's some trustworthy sayings. And what does he say in verse 14? Keep reminding him of these things. So here's Paul telling Timothy, we're going to have to keep reminding people. We're prone to wander. We're prone to forget. So we have to keep reminding them of these foundational things. Jesus rose from the dead. He's descended from David. If we died with him, we're going to live with him. Jesus made an eternal promise. And if you dwell in that, your salvation is assured. You can live in certainty. Your calling and election is sure. But you have to continue to remember these things. Continue to remember. And then James 1, so from Timothy go right past Hebrews, James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Just like Jesus, he who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. He also condemns the Jews for what Isaiah said, you heard but you didn't have understanding. You had eyes but you didn't see. And here's the same thing. You can listen to things, you can hear it, but you don't do anything with it. It's no good. James says, don't merely listen to the word, do what it says. Otherwise, you're just deceiving yourself. You think you're a Christian, But you're one of the ones that Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. You didn't take what he said and put it into practice. You just thought it sounded good. That's a good motto. He says, but you're just deceiving yourself. You put it into practice. Do what it says. In fact, he says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. How long does your image stay in the mirror after you left? It's sort of like the refrigerator light. You keep peeking around, see if it's still there. Oh, it's still there? No. The light goes off, folks. So your image doesn't stay in the mirror. You immediately turn away from it, it's gone. And we sometimes do the same thing with the Word of God. We read it, and then we turn away from it, it's gone. No, you hear it with intelligence. Like the Jews' Shema, you hear with intelligence. You process it. You reason through it. You apply it. You do something with it. You just don't turn away from it and leave it. So, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it over and over, don't just hear it, do it, he will be blessed in what he does. So again, looking intently, looking at something with intent to do something with it, Shema, hearing intelligently, looking intently, and then doing what it says, carrying it out, he says, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it. And there's the real kicker for every one of us. We know this stuff. We got to go out and do it. We need to do what it says. And he says, if you do these things, you'll be blessed. So if I don't do these things, is there blessing? No, there's no blessing. There's no blessing in being a biblical scholar that knows it word for word, but I don't live it out. There's no blessing in that. You may be smart. You may have a good memory, but you're not doing it. That's what Jesus told the Jews. You know, do what the Pharisees say because they're reading from Scripture. Do what they say, but don't do what they do. They're not doing the Word of God. They're not carrying it out. So are they being blessed? No, they're not being blessed. So the admonition is to look intently, with intention, to continue to do it, and don't forget it. Do not forget. Do it, then you will be blessed. If you don't look intently, if you don't do it, if you don't remember, there is no blessing. There is no blessing in not following Jesus Christ. All right? So, it all comes back to Shema. Hear intelligently, listen, and do what the Word says over and over. And we have to keep being reminded over and over. We have to be refreshed. We have to keep our memories alive. But again, at what point, you know, like Paul says in Hebrews, he says, folks, some of you should be teachers by now. He says, but some of you are still on milk. You need to get busy. You need to get onto meat. You need to be doing something with this. And he's talking to a church where people have only been Christians for maybe 10 years. So he's talking to a young church with young Christians, and he's already telling them, y'all ought to know this by now. You ought to be teachers. What does that say to us that have been Christians in a Christian world for 2,000 years, in a Christian body, with Bibles, with Scripture, with teaching, for 30, 40 years? We all ought to be teachers by now, folks. But we need to be refreshed. We need to be reminded. We need to continue to grow in it. That's all pointing to that same thing. Any questions, comments, anything? Let's have a word of prayer. Our dearest Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that when we read this, we see the how alive it is and how it applies to ourselves today, how pertinent it is to every moment of our life. God, we pray that your Spirit continues to pray, lead us into, to even urge us into following every single word and living exactly what Jesus has commanded us to do. We thank you, God, that you're so patient with us, that you give us things to remind us, you give us things to remember, easy things to do to remember all the things that you have taught us. And we thank you that you have given us your word that we can open and see for ourselves every single thing that you have for us. Dear Holy Spirit, continue to be patient with us and to lead us into all truth and to show us with your wisdom, not our own, in every moment, so every decision, that we become more like Christ. We thank you in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you all for being here.